Nitai ki jai. Shri Gopal ji ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay. Griham. Griham Anitam Ahuya. Radam Daitya Yajaka. Prashasya Shlakshnaya Vacha. Samaprichchanta Samabhi. Okay, translation. Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text Number 8. When Hiranyakashipu's servants brought the boy, Prahlad, back to the Gurukula, the place where the Brahmins taught the boys, the priests of the demons, Sunda and Amarka, pacified him. With very mild voices and affectionate words, they inquired from him as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Sunda and Amarka, the priests of the demons, were eager to know from Prahlad who the Vaishnavas were that came to instruct him in Krishna consciousness. Their purpose was to discover the names of the Vaishnavas. In the beginning, they did not threaten the boy because when threatened, he might not identify the real culprits. Therefore, they very mildly and peacefully inquired as follows. We'll read the next two the questions also, if you don't mind. Vatsa pralada badram te sacham katayama mrisha balanati kutastubhyam eshabudi viparyaya. My dear son Prahlad, all peace and good fortune to you. Kindly do not speak lies, just reply with the truth. These boys you see are not like you, for they do not speak in a deviant way. How have you learned these instructions? How has your intelligence been spoiled in this way? Purport by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj was still a boy, therefore his teachers thought that if they pacified the little boy, he would immediately speak the truth, revealing the secret of how the Vaishnavas came there to teach him lessons in devotional service. It was surprising, of course, that in the same school, the other boys of the Daityas were not polluted. Only Prahlad was supposedly polluted by the instructions of the Vaishnavas. The main duty of the teachers was to inquire who these Vaishnavas were that came to teach Prahlad and spoil his intelligence. Buddhi Veda Parakrita Utaho Te Svato Bhavat Vanyatam Shotu Kamanam Gurunam Kulanandana. O best of your family, how has this pollution of your intelligence been brought about by you or by the enemies? We are all your teachers and are very eager to hear about this. Please tell us the truth. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj's teachers were astonished that a small boy could speak such an exalted Vaishnava philosophy. Therefore, they inquired about the Vaishnavas who stealthily taught it to him, in order that these Vaishnavas might be arrested and killed in the presence of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu. Om Agana Timirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the demons, the asuras, they're against the Lord. So they think that if someone has knowledge of God, knowledge of the soul, knowledge of, caring for other living entities, that it's polluted. Something's wrong. There's still many people like that in the world. Many times when devotees start to become Krishna conscious, their parents and friends or whoever, they get upset. They want to know, you know, how did this happen? What's wrong? Who did this? And eliminate those people who did it. You know, we had that case in America, and they had these people called deprogrammers. And not only Hare Krishnas, but any religion, they would take money from the parents, and then they would say they'll get them out. They'll purify their consciousness and make them realize, you know, that they should be normal people, eating meat and gambling and all the normal things, drinking. So it became a pretty big business, and they would get a lot of money. Many devotees were captured. Usually, the devotees figured out very quickly to just say, oh, yeah, right, and then they let them go. You know. So there was a lawsuit, and they had one psychiatrist that would testify that religious preaching is brainwashing. It's just like the Korean War and the way they brainwash the... Sometimes they get an American soldier, then they'd get him to say, oh, I'm really glad that I've become a communist now. And, you know, they would, by some sort of process. So they were saying that any religious preaching is just like that. And she would testify in court, and she'd have her evidence. So they were bringing that against us. And so that became a very big thing. And it actually, all the other churches in America joined in with us, because if we lost that one, then they would be finished next, you know. So it got to the Supreme Court, which is amazing, because the Supreme Court only takes something like 10% of the things that are presented to them. And then they declared that religious preaching is not brainwashing. It's okay. So this psychiatrist lady, she flipped out. She sued the American Psychiatric Association because they testified also that it wasn't brainwashing. She said, you've ruined my business, you know. Now I don't have any business, and I'm suffering. You have to, I have to get some money back. You know. So, but that was a major victory for the religious preaching, because even though they have the religious freedom and everything, there are so many people that will say like that you know, their child is brainwashed. Or, you know, now, the one girl who had been a devotee, she said, now I feel guilty whenever I eat meat. Because of the Hare Krishna preaching, it made me suffer. Because they knew it was wrong. So the demons are like that. And here, of course, they're very diplomatic. So they're not threatening. Of course, we know later that they tried so many ways to kill Prahlad. They couldn't understand. Even though Hiranyakasipu knew that his wife had been with Narada Muni, but none of them could understand that in the womb he could learn. But that's scientific, that at the 7 months in the womb, that child becomes sentient and he can learn. So that's why, you know, the mother is supposed to be in very good consciousness and not be disturbed and be hearing about Krishna, ultimately, you know, not, you know, being in anxiety and fighting or working, or, you know, then the child gets affected. So Prahlad remembered, but the mother didn't remember, so even though she'd heard it all also, because she was a demon, I guess, and it didn't affect her very much, but Prahlad, He heard it, and Prahlad was of course, special. They have that story, comes from somewhere home. When Hiranyakasipu, the first time he went off to do his big tapasya, Narada Muni, you know, the demigods were worried. So he said, I'll take care of it. So Narada Muni and his Parvat Muni, I guess it was, they took the form of little birds. So Hiranyakasipu started trying to do his tapasya. And these little birds kept chanting Vishnu or Narayan, you know, whatever they. And he got so agitated that he couldn't practice his tapasya. And he tried to kill those birds, but then they just disappeared. So he went home and couldn't, you know, he was so agitated. And the wife said, what are you doing? He said, oh, you know. And it was the time for conception time. So he was telling the wife, you know, these birds were chanting Narayan, 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 you know, or Vishnu, which I. And at that, then he conceived a child. Then he went off again. And then the demigods kidnapped. And without him there, they were able to defeat the demons. And then they took the wife. And they wanted to kill her because they thought this child would be another big demon. Because organized culture, it's usually that way, that the child is like the father. Not so much anymore, but because his marriages are not arranged properly and people are not practicing any kind of samskaras. So it's more often that demons are born in devotee families and devotees are born in demon families. And all kinds of things happen. So Narada, you know, he took her in his ashram because he said this is a great devotee. And then he was preaching all the time, and Narada Muni is always preaching. And then Prahlad learned these things. So when he started, you know, associating in the school and he preaching. So they couldn't imagine that, so they're thinking some Vaishnavas must be sneaking around here, disguised as demons. But they were bewildered at. They told Prahlad, you're the only one, you know, that got polluted like this. Of course, since he's the son of the king, then that would be intelligent for the spies, just to pollute him and let him do the rest, right? Then get out of there. But it wasn't like that. There was actually that he was a devotee, and he already had all this knowledge. So the whole story is very familiar to all of us. But the idea is that we see how these demons are acting. They're so charming. You know, like police when they are questioning someone. I don't know in India if they use that technique, but in the salted bread they were saying how the one would be real nice and the other one would be really nasty. And then the other one says, oh, don't be so nasty. You know, you know, be nice to him. And then the person thinks, oh, this is my friend. And then he tells him everything. Right? So that's their trick. So they thought they would just be nice to Prahlad and trick him, and then he would reveal, you know, who these spies were, Vaishnava spies, and then they could capture them and kill them. But of course, there wasn't anybody. So they wanted to know. That was their duty at the time, given by, you know, not to try to teach him. They were trying to teach Prahlad, you know, all the demon politics, the science of friends and enemies. He didn't like any of that. He didn't like it. He didn't like to learn that politics and how to chastise your enemies and how to make friends, you know, because in the politics, like Duryodhan, after they exiled the Pandavas the first time, everybody loved Yudhisthira. You know, so they practically, the whole Hastinapur, they tried to follow the Pandavas out of the city. And that was just that first time when they went to the House of Lakh. But, you know, Yudhisthira sent him back. And so they were not happy. But then Duryodhana started, you know, giving presents and promoting people and, you know, having festivals or whatever. And then gradually the people became okay, you know. It seemed like everything's all right. They didn't really love Duryodhana, but he, you know, by that kind of tactics, like governments do, they promise now, you know, whatever they think the people want. There was a talk, like in America at one time, I guess it was right after the Depression, so the politicians would promise, you know, like two chickens in every pot or so, you know, something like that. Everybody will have food and a house. You know, now they're promising in America jobs or hospitalization, insurance, you know, whatever people don't have, whatever kind of sense gratification. They give also so that they can get the votes. They don't give the people Krishna. So Hiranyakasipu, you know, he was the king of the demons, and kings are very anxious to have their son, you know, become like them and take over the kingdom, to have an heir. That's normal. So we see many stories of these kings. They can't have any children, but they're desperate to have children. It's not only that they just want a little baby to play with, and, you know, they really have this feeling of duty and, you know, passing on the line within their family. And normally in the proper culture, it's like that. The son will be just like when Prikshit was born. Then they did the astrology and they were asking, you know, and they were saying he'll be like his grandfather, he'll be like all these good qualities, and they wanted to know, is he going to be a good king? Yudhisthira wanted to know that he has these qualities, because they care about the kingdom. So Hiranyakasipu, he cared about his kingdom. He cared about preserving demoniac culture, demoniac values, asuric values. There, and now those values, of course, are quite common in modern society. Like Sita was chastising Ravana, why you're taking other men's wives? He said, well, that's what Rakshasas do. What's wrong with that? You know, for him, it didn't make any sense that what's wrong with that? That's normal. And that's becoming, you know, quite normal nowadays in modern society. The movies, television shows, you know, they promote that kind of consciousness. The demons are directing, you know, so many different ways to teach people atheistic culture. That there's no God, there's no karma, there's no next life, and you should just try to enjoy now as much as possible. Devamrita Swami might have said when he was here that he was saying in New Zealand, the devotees went out, like, you know, television people go out and they ask, you know, what do you think about politics? What do you think about something, right? What do you think about the traffic in Bombay, you know? What do you think the government should do about it, right? Well, give everybody a comfortable car with air condition and a stereo, right? Then they won't. Then it's okay. You see people getting these cars that can go at 300 kilometers an hour, you know, and they're sitting down here, right? It must be more frustrating, even. So they're teaching these things in every way, demoniac culture, that illicit sex, gambling, all these things are very wonderful, very important, sporting, you know, nice activities. And then the devotees are trying to teach the opposite, you know, to relieve people, that these things are actually sources, causes of misery, they're not pleasure. And you know that if you go to study sociology or something. I remember I took that course and, you know, it was just statistics. There's so many alcoholics, there's so many divorces, there's so many this, there's so many, you know. Everything is so bad, and everything that the government ever tried to do to relieve it just made it worse. They got books full of that information. Anybody, I don't know, here everybody studies the MBA right now. Just to think that, you know, if you can get rich, if you can make money, then you won't have to suffer all the problems that everyone else is suffering, and you'll be able to get sense gratification. You know, with money, you can get anything, right? Then you can go to the best hospital when you're sick. Then you can afford to pay the alimony and child support when you get divorced, if you're rich, right? No problem then. So now people are expecting to be divorced. You know, rich people, before they get married, the lawyers of the man, the rich man, will make the woman sign a divorce agreement ahead of time. You know, that so that she won't sue for everything he has later on, because that happens all the time. So anyway, the devotees went out and they were asking people, what would you do if you knew you were going to die in 24 hours? Or 48 hours. So almost everybody, they said, well, I would get my credit card and I would buy everything I could imagine that I ever wanted, because I know I don't have to pay for it. And then I would, you know, get all my friends and collect as much of whatever type of intoxication that we like, and we would party like anything. That's almost what everybody said. A few of the women, I guess, were a little more conservative. They want to be with their family or something. They didn't find anybody that, you know, was going to pray or, you know, worry about the next life or anything. So that's the situation with so many people. Of course, there are religious people in every walk of life, in every country, in every different denomination, you know, that have a higher consciousness. But the mass of people and the media and the propaganda is on this side. Now you can buy whatever you want. You know, and if you're going to die, then party hard. They had a television show when I was a kid called Run for Your Life. I think that was the name of it. So it started with the doctors, you know, showing all the tests and saying, you have something and you can live only 1 year. So the guy was a rich lawyer, so he liquidated everything and started going to enjoy. Every week he would do something far out thing that everybody wants to do. You know, he would go to the exotic place and climb the exotic mountain or drive the F1 car or something. And it was a very popular show, so he got another test and then he lived another year. Because that's what people think. Well, you know, that would, if you know you're going to die, like Parikshit knew he was going to die. And so he was inquiring what to do, and he got different information, which was all something a little bit spiritual. Nobody was telling him you should just party hard, you know. But he rejected, you know, different karmakanda type things. And then he met Sukadev Goswami and told him then what should a person do at the time of death. And he told him you should be absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And he, of course, Parikshit was a devotee from the womb, so he knew that already, and he'd been doing that all his life anyway. You know, he was a devotee. He was playing with Krishna murtis and dolls when he was a little kid, and he was going to Vrindavan all the time and establishing temples and pilgrimage routes and everything. So he took that, and then he, you know, Krishna set the stage for the speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that you should hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Then the point is that everyone is at the, we don't know. Prabhupada was, I just heard a few days ago, he was saying, you know, Parikshit knew 7 days Now, we don't know. It could be 1 minute. People die like, right? Doctors, you know that. Everybody knows that. My uncle, my father's brother, as far as I can remember, he was never sick. I never heard of him being sick. He was a very nice guy, very, you know. And one day he just was walking across the room and bam, dead. Instant heart attack. 50 years old or something. I had visited him not too long before that. I hadn't seen him for like a long time, but maybe a Christian gave me, he was thinking of something. But these things happen. Everybody's experienced this. But still, when Yudhishthira was asked, you know, what is the most amazing thing? Ahani, ahani, bhutani, ahoyad, yamalaya. Everyone, although everyone has gone to the abode of death, no one has ever not died. Still, everyone is trying to make a permanent arrangement here on earth, thinking, well, I can enjoy this place, you know, planning how to make it nice. It's compared to like if you're in jail, you know, you try to make the jail cell really nice, but you're still in jail. So that's what the question that of all the questions that Yaksha asked Yudhishthira, that one is always the one that's remembered. Prabhupada mentioned it many, many times. The most amazing thing that everyone has seen, that everyone is dying. Everywhere we see funerals, we see cemeteries. In India, not so many, but in America, and everywhere there's huge cemeteries, you know, with these monuments. And every church in Japan, every Buddhist temple is just a... The main business is the cemetery, cremation. I went in one big temple in Thailand, and there was a very beautiful building, you know, all decorated, and I was wondering, what is that one? Because it wasn't the temple, then it was the oven. The cremation oven. Because that's their main business. Of course, in those, the Buddhists, they have some idea that there's a soul and they have to bless that soul, you know, by taking lots of money from the relatives and doing whatever they do. But like the Japanese temples, they just have huge cemeteries. That's their life. That's, you know, otherwise they don't do very much, the Buddhists. Buddha didn't do that. I don't think. He didn't worry about the dead bodies. Jesus, the Christians also have big elaborate funerals, and you know, so much money is spent on the box and the burial and the place to bury them. Some people arrange their own funeral before they die. They advertise, don't trust your family. They might give you the cheap funeral. They'll take your money for their own sense gratification and give you the cheap box and the cheap, you know, place. So arrange your own funeral now, you know. Make sure you get the very opulent one. You know, the very expensive box and the fancy place, you know, the prestigious graveyard and everything. It's true. This is the bodily consciousness. In India, they're much more intelligent, just burn the bodies. You know, that's much more sanitary. It's Rakshasa Dharma, they like to bury the bodies. Right? And the Muslims. In Israel, it's illegal to cremate. They say that the Bible says you have to bury the body. I don't know where they get that. But the body is finished, and when the body is burned, then the soul can know that it's finished and move on. Otherwise, he might hang around thinking it's going to... You know, they tell him that it's going to come back. They teach him in some religions their whole life. You know, he's going to come up from the grave at the judgment day and you get your body back. They don't know any better. They shouldn't. So we're trying to educate people, trying to elevate them. Prabhupada said very strongly, just give them prasadam and kirtan. Invite them, let them chant and dance, you know. Most people can't understand much philosophy. Of course, in India, people can understand better. If someone comes and they're inquisitive anywhere, you know, we hear, but they need to be purified. And we need to be purified. We need to chant and dance all the time, too, to really come to the full understanding so that these teachings that we're hearing all the time will stay with us, like they stayed with Prahlad. So he had so much faith. And that even all the attempts to kill him and all that, you know, nothing would work. Because he just took complete shelter of the Lord, chanting the mantras, you know, chanting the prayers. So we might not hope for that, but the ultimate protection is that the soul will be protected, the soul will go to Krishna. Time of death can come to anybody at any time. It doesn't require war. It doesn't require AIDS or any, you know, terrorist or anything. People are going to die anyway, right? They try to talk like, okay, well, you know, we'll eliminate the terrorists and then everybody can live forever, right? You know, as soon as we just wipe out all the terrorists, as soon as we distribute enough, you know, gimmicks to prevent AIDS or something, government's campaign, but it's not working. Like in Ghana, the government puts up signs because they're worried about AIDS, so they say things like, don't rush into premarital sex. They don't say don't have it. They don't rush into it, you know. So people will think, well, I didn't rush. I waited a few minutes. You know, what can be done? They do say that the best way is abstinence, but they kind of make it that all the other ways are also just as good. So they promote that so-called safe sex, but there's no safe sense gratification. You know, they put filters on the cigarettes, or they say it only has 1 mg or something. Nobody knows what that is, but you know, they make people think this one is all right. This they call it light. And in Indonesia, they advertise cigarettes so much, so they come with light, light, extra light. You know, and then they came out with one that's not mild. You know, for the tough guys, not mild. So many said mild, and this one's not mild. You know, I'm not afraid. You know, they put those warnings on the box, but the people think, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid. I can smoke anyway. And it doesn't work. The only thing that works to get people is to give them a higher taste, to give them the holy name, to give them, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. Then, you know, we can get elevated and get a higher pleasure and not be attracted then to the lesser so-called pleasures, which are actually not pleasure. They're actually sources of misery, the sense gratification. Contacting the senses with the sense objects and all these gross things that are being promoted and all the different anxieties that are produced by all the different, you know, irregulated principles. People think, well, how can you live if you don't drink or eat meat? But so many people are living happily, cheaper, everything. It's very troublesome to eat meat, very expensive. Smoking is very expensive. In London now, cigarettes cost £5.5 per box. How many rupees is that? It's 80 times 5, right? That's for 20 cigarettes. 400 rupees. How much does it cost here? I don't know. It's very cheap anyway. Still. Because the government wants you to smoke. They say it's a pious activity. That when you buy cigarettes, you're helping the poor village woman who works in the cigarette factory to feed her children. Right? They advertise it. They trick people. The lottery is a pious activity in every country because the lottery gives, you know, some percentage to charity. So the people are thinking, well, I'm not gambling, I'm just giving charity. But most of it goes to somebody else. You know. Not all of it goes to charity. And very little goes to, you know, people don't win very much. But that's what they advertise. In Los Angeles, they advertise Las Vegas and the horse racing tracks. And they put up big signs that say, so many millions were paid out last week. Like, you automatically win, see. They don't say how much came in, but it's about 10 times more than went out. Somebody gets something, but nobody really wins in sense gratification. So we need to be strong. We need to, of course, we want to tell people, you know, who's teaching us about Krishna. When they want to know, where did you learn this? You know, we learned from these books. We learned from the devotees. So come and learn it. Please come. You know, we don't care, demons or anybody, if they want to hear a little bit about Krishna, if they're fortunate enough to hear something, you know, they can get purified, they can get changed. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement, that he destroys the demoniac mentality of the people. Not killing demons like Krishna did, like all the other incarnations. Weapons, Parashurama, he killed so many. Lord Ramachandra killed so many Rakshasas. And Narada Sringadeva killed Hiranyakasipu. They're all killing. Krishna killed so many demons. Balaram killed so many. Buddha didn't kill any. And then Lord Chaitanya, he's changing the mentality. He's giving the topmost benediction. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Of course, some really demons will think, well, that's killing, taking people away, and they can't, you know, they're not allowed to do it. You keep them locked up in their ashram, and they can't watch television, and they can't go to movies, and they can't eat meat, and they can't have girlfriends. So they're thinking like that. That's worse than death. Worse than death. Death would be a relief, they think. But actually, because they can't understand the higher pleasure of connecting with Krishna. The Paramananda, the supreme pleasure, is Krishna. If we connect, the soul is by nature blissful. But it's covered over. And then when we get bewildered, then that bliss gets transformed into, you know, all kinds of difficulties, lust and anger and greed and everything else. If we associate with the modes of nature, but if we get uncovered, we get uplifted, then that bliss, which is the natural condition of the soul, it's not an artificial imposition. It doesn't have to be injected, the Krishna consciousness, into anyone. It has to be awakened. Uncovered. It's already there. That's the nature of the soul, is ananda. But that, and of course in India, that word gets used very cheaply, right? I saw in Delhi, we were on Rath Yatra, and there was the Ananda mattress shop. It said 8 hours of bliss. Ananda mattress. And they did a survey in Canada or something, and they were asking people, if you could have, which would you take if you could have a good night's sleep or sex. And more people said sleep. Because like I was saying yesterday, they can't sleep peacefully. They're so agitated. So they're advertising, you know, the hotels when you're waiting in the immigration line in the airport, there'll be a big sign for such and such hotel has the best beds. This hotel has special new beds that no one ever had before. And when you come in this hotel, you'll be able to sleep really good. The hotels actually have the big hotels now have a channel on their television to help you sleep. And they promote the special beds and pillows and, you know, because people can't sleep. Their minds are so disturbed. But sleep is essential for functioning, right? If we don't sleep nicely, then you can't digest and you can't think, can't remember anything. If you deprive sleep, then memory goes down so much, you know, very quickly. Of course, if someone sleeps too much, then they just become dull. Many people, they sleep too much. They're not really, they try and try to sleep and they keep themselves in the dark. But sufficient sleep. But not eat, and no, don't eat too much, don't sleep too much, don't eat too little, don't sleep too little. Don't work too hard, don't work too little. All these things Krishna says. Then one can be a yogi and mitigate the miseries of life. So we can learn as this goes on, and we learn again and again from Prahlad, you know, the saintly son of Hiranyakasipu, the great devotee. Lord Chaitanya read Bhagavatam daily with Gadadhar Pandit. He was expert at reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And they especially read about Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva. And it says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Krishna will favor devotees like Prahlad and Dhruva even more than the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, because they had to work for it to become devotees. They had to suffer. They had to do something. So Lord Chaitanya especially liked to hear, you know, the activities of Prahlad. Of course, we learn from the activities of Hiranyakasipu also how not to be, because that type of mentality is being promoted everywhere, and we've been taught that, you know, you have to enjoy, there's no God, I am God, you know. He was a supremely, you know, powerful demon, but there's so many with that same mentality, big and small. But we don't want that. We want to try to be like Prahlad. If we meditate on Prahlad, we meditate on his activities and his speech and his talks, then we can also become like that, because it is as natural. The soul is naturally like that. So we just have to uncover those, you know, the lust and greed and anger and envy and all those things. And the holy name, you know, wipes them out. The kirtan purifies the consciousness and cleanses the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So carry on with this Sankirtan movement. Wherever you go and whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna, one way or another. That's what everybody needs. They're suffering like anything. You know, even no matter what they have materially, they're not happy. They always want more. We should want more also, but more Krishna. More chanting. More service. So any question, comment? Time flies. Got a good crowd today. So thank you very much. I'll be leaving this afternoon to go to Vrindavan. Try to get a little purified. Krishna takes care of everyone. He took care of Prahlad, you know, in spite of the most powerful efforts to eliminate him, he's taking care of all of us, taking care of every living entity. So many people in Bombay are living somehow or other. Rich or poor, but they get their food, they get their shelter. Somehow or other, Krishna has done it. It's miraculous. Provides, you know, for everybody. Right? Even they have a Rolls Royce shop now. If somebody is really rich and they need to spend their money. I saw one guy with a Rolls Royce once. It was a long time ago. And I asked him, is it a good car? He said, no, it's junk. It's a brand new one. But it's prestigious. The demoniac. You don't want it. We don't want one. We want practical. Utility is the principle for serving Krishna. We need functional things, but we don't need, you know, prestigious things. We need to function so that we can get out and meet people and give them Krishna. Give them prasadam. Give them the holy name. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Shri Gopal Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.